This is The Platform Rules, digital transformation for product companies, hosted by Propel Software. Whether a business has been around for 20 years or 20 months, it's never a bad time to consider the benefits of digital transformation. That's exactly what the medtech startup Diality did when they invested in a modern PLM and QMS solution, built to scale alongside the company as they continued to grow. Today, we'll hear all about this journey from Sandeep Ladd, Diality's Director of Quality.
Sandeep, thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure being here. Thank you very much for having me.
So let's start by just learning a little bit about Diality and your role. Can you just tell us what you do here at the company?
Sure. So at Diality, I currently serve as the Director of Quality. So my responsibility is really on quality systems development and compliance for the organization. And we at Diality are developing a hemodialysis system, which focuses on some features and traits that make it more flexible, simple, and intelligent. So that's really the business that Diality is in. We are a startup organization at a Series B funding.
Okay, so Series B, and how long have you been at Diality now?
Sure. So I started back in May 2019, so a little bit over 4 years now.
4 years. And where is the company now on your overall journey towards commercializing your products?
Sure. So we started in from the ground up, basically, right? So at that point in time, we started off with some initial requirements, some initial high-level concepts, and we're now at a stage where we're in design verification validation activities. We are turning the corner now towards compiling our 510K to be able to submit within a short period of time. And from there, we're also gearing up for our commercial plan, looking at how post-clearance we will look to take our product into the marketplace. So it's really a key time for us getting to our sort of major milestone of 510K submission, ultimate clearance, to be able to move ahead and move on.
Great. So you mentioned to me previously that you've recently invested in an ERP. And going back, you've been here 4 years. Previously, you had invested in PLM and QMS, and that's how we came to know each other. Mm-hmm. And I know there's going to be some additional systems and solutions that you're going to be investing in the future. But tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are today. How did you decide to invest in certain systems? What were the triggers, I guess, is a better way, that got sure. you to say this is the right time to invest the time and money into some of these solutions that you ultimately have?
Sure. So, you know, many of us who came in early on come from organizations that were managing things on paper. And so one of our key ideas from the very beginning was to go electronic with many of our tools. And so that was the inspiration in looking at right off the get-go as we were developing our quality systems and other processes to be able to pair a tool with that concurrently with the development. And so we had selected Propel at the time based on its ability to do PLM, which is its primary use case that we're using it for, and then have also different quality system modules that we could co-configure, right? So that was how we kicked all of this off. And as we started to implement, and as we saw the benefits of implementing an electronic system right off the get-go, as we were developing our internal processes, that's the journey we wanted to take on. So about 6 to 8 months ago, we had decided that, okay, as we come into this year, 2023, looking towards, going through the 510K process and eventually moving on to commercialization, we knew that we have to start looking at other tools for managing that type of post-market commercial finance type of activity. So we had done a selection process for ERP systems around that time, 6 to 8 months ago, and we had decided and landed on implementation of NetSuite. So NetSuite became our tool, and just a couple of months ago, we went live with the phase one That included some feature sets that are useful for us right now. And we're sort of scoping out phase two as we think about the ability to go to market and manage commercial operations at a later date. So that's where NetSuite's journey started for us as well. So now we have sort of two packages that talk to one another as sort of a growing library of electronic tools to help our processes.
All right. So I want to dig into a couple of things that you mentioned there. So let's start with you. You said that a few of you decided early on that you wanted to go digital, that you didn't want to start with paper processes and then, or manual, and then move on to digital, which we see a lot. What do you think you've avoided by going digital early on, or maybe a different way of thinking about it, when you did it in the past, when you started with manual processes? What's the pain point that then comes when you do have to switch to digital later? What have you avoided here?
Yes, I think the biggest pain point is that you have processes that are established where folks have been using them for a long time, and then there isn't always a one-to-one conversion from a paper process to digital process because there's always some give and take that has to happen. Right? And when that happens, getting the right buy-in and the support from all the users to migrate becomes one big challenge. At the same time, there's a lot of data and records that were created on the paper process that doesn't always easily translate into it, right? So I think in those two cases, I've always experienced that companies that go from more of a longer standing paper-based solution, the challenges they face in migrating to an electronic solution is really the challenge with adapting to a new tool. The fact that certain processes have to get modified to fit the other tool, and the overall time and cost it just takes in order to migrate records and documents and workflows into an electronic solution. And so in order to avoid a long run, because it's sort of a company that can be detrimental if we have to go through that process, right? We wanted to make sure that we select a solution that we can scale up with and that we have a lot of buy-in right off the get-go.
Okay. So it sounds like when you go digital first, you get, I mean, for lack of a better word, you're going to get guardrails that is going to guide how the process is going to work, and you're not going to have to change that process later when you decide to change solution.
And that's assuming you select the right digital solution, right? Yeah. So, you know, I think one of the caveats there is there's many digital solutions out there, right? And some are equipped well for certain types of businesses and some are not, right? And so I think the caveat to that is if you select the wrong solution, you kind of put too many guardrails around it and helps prevent any type of nimbleness or innovation. Whereas if you choose the right platform, then it scales with you.
So basically, if you're not choosing a platform that can scale with you, you're going to have the same issue of having to change your process at a later date, or not even that. You're going to have to just get a new solution at some point. Yeah. If it's not one that can scale with you.
Right. So one of the things I always say is that, you know, you don't work for the software, but the software should work for you, right? And so many times we've seen examples of processes sort of constrained by the tool because the tool somehow dictates everything, but it should be the other way around. The tool should be nimble enough to adapt to your processes, right? And so that is kind of the way to take a look at.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. So the other thing that I wanted to chat a little bit is you mentioned having systems or solutions that talk to one another. Mm-hmm. So how important is that interconnectivity? Or, well, I guess when you say talk to one another, what do you mean? Are you talking data flows, process, or what does that mean in your world?
So a bit of both, right? I think what happens is that there isn't sort of one tool that serves every business process purposes, right? And so when we take a look at NetSuite and Propel, I think the use cases that NetSuite as an ERP system has to offer are different than the use cases Propel has to offer, right? But there is data that resides in one system that serves as a primary input into another system, right? And so having that data exchange and workflow connectivity, one means that you leverage automation, and the benefits of automation there are mistake proofing, right? And also reduction in overhead administration. Right? And so, in our organization, we really value that, because the fact that, we don't have gobs of resources that we can tap into, right? I mean, naturally speaking, in our startup environment, right? So we are very cognizant about, leveraging the tool and the power of the tool to do a lot of the heavy lifting for us, right? Because the more logic we can build in, the more automation we can build in, the faster and the more efficient it becomes, right? And that helps us with some of the transparency area as well.
Okay, fantastic. So, with that in mind, you've got some of the mistake proofing, better resource allocation. When you think about, though, you really invested at an early stage, as you mentioned. So when you think about the specific benefit of investing in this case, you mentioned PLM and QMS at an early stage, as opposed to, say, later, outside of some of the benefits that you discussed about not having to change processes, what do you think are the business benefits that you get when you invest early on like that?
So I think you get those two buckets of improved efficiency. And when I say improved efficiency, I'm really talking about the fact that you're leveraging workflows and automation to do sometimes tasks that, human resources have to do, right? And so one of our use cases for going in electronic in this case was to say, okay, well, how much of this administration would have to be done in a paper process, and how much of that do we eliminate by putting into an electronic system? And that allows us to quantify some level of savings on FTE hours, or even in some cases FTEs as a whole, when it comes to a lot of administrative activities that we don't need to worry about. Right? And so that allows us to focus on the actual work, which is developing the product that we're developing. So that's one major bucket. I think the other bucket then is looking at, the cost of errors, right? That has a quantified cost as well, right? So many times, you have systems in which you're relying completely on manual record keeping on this side or the other. The transparency and visibility isn't there because these get shoved into some file cabinet or stored in the network, and they're not searchable or parsable. And so if an error is in there and it doesn't get caught, well, then you've got exposure and error correction you have to do later. Whereas with electronic records, you have real-time feedback if you're missing. If you can design it so that you can make sure that the right data gets put into it, you can control that data. And the third area is really the ease of finding information. One of the big benefits for Propel is we have sort of 58 users now active in Propel. Everyone's plugged into the tool, so the ability to find documents, the ability to find parts, it just makes it so that everyone can kind of self-manage what they're looking for, and it just speeds up the ability to get from one step to the other, and it empowers a lot of the individuals to kind of get what they need versus, funneling requests into these traditional document control functions or funneling a request into here, there, and there. It's all available there, right, including reporting and all that kind of stuff.
And, I should know this, but the 58 users, are they all in your division? Are they in different divisions of the company?
Oh, all function. This is pretty much our entire FTE.
Okay.
That's right. Now. Yeah. So okay. Every function from sales and marketing to clinical to rev to engineering primarily is the bulk of our users, because that's where most of our staffing is right now. But every function is represented and every function is contributing to the tool.
Okay. So I know you're very much locked into Diality, but when you think about your next role and your next company, if you do go to another early stage med tech company, would you do the things the same way that you've done them here? Would you start off by, digital QMS, digital PLM very early on in the journey, or would you do it slightly differently?
No, I think this is the blueprint that I would probably follow across the board. And in fact, folks that I've been speaking with, colleagues or friends who are in other similar types of roles, What's interesting is as they've seen this tool, you know, we talk about this tool, right? So, you know, we have a tight-knit community within, you know, quality systems, especially within the Orange County area. And as we share best practices, as we share what we're using, I've always found that they've been pretty sort of very happy with the tools, in some cases jealous of the fact that some of these tool sets are available, because, you know, some of them are using systems that are kind of what we talked about before, a little bit very constraining, like they have to fit into the tool versus the tool is going to fit around them. And so I think the blueprint of starting electronic early is the way the industry is going, because these software platforms are very sophisticated, right? And the fact is that the built-in feature set, the mistake proofing ability, the audit trail, in some cases is better than what a human could do, right? And so as that evolves over time, I think that's really the way to go.
Okay, so beyond that then, just as we think about as we wrap up here, any advice that you would share outside of investing in the digital tools early on, any advice that you would share with other people at early stage medtech companies?
I think the main thing is when it comes to, at least from the angle that I am going towards, which is, you know, quality systems and compliance processes, right? Medical device companies that are starting off in their journey of creating an internal quality systems infrastructure, compliance infrastructure, I think the key thing is making sure that what you do is completely aligned with all of the other functional stakeholders, right? And so one of the things that we found very useful was that when we came up with processes, we did it as a cross-functional brainstorming team, because it's important to understand the user's view of these processes, right? So one of the suggestions is that whenever we create a process, or let's say design one, the one angle is, yeah, is it compliant? And sure, that's one relatively easy way to figure out if it's compliant or not, right? But that process can be done in many different ways, right? Some ways can be very cumbersome to the users, and some ways can be very smart and intelligent for the users. And so the biggest piece of advice that I would give is think about it from that perspective when designing a quality system or compliance process from the ground up, because it really helps in how they're adopted. And if you can get the other functions to champion these processes because they are very happy with the way they are and it's really helping them achieve what they're looking to achieve, then that's kind of a winning rule book play to making sure that, you know, you have a scalable system.
Yeah, look, you just touched on two things that are near and dear to our heart. One are happy users, and two is process first and then technology second to support the needed process. So really, really happy to hear that. We cannot recommend that enough. I think that's absolutely fantastic advice.
It's really helpful, and I think it's been helping us, and it helps us scale. And look at, you know, in our case, we have, as we're growing as a company, we have different functions and new users coming into play. But it's really nice because we can continuously modify and tweak these things based on newer user requirements with newer functions. And we're doing that continuously, right? And it's so easy to do because we have this mindset that we're not just locked into it. We have this mindset that we can achieve compliance in many different ways. It's not just one way to achieve that. And so each time we get a new user requirement about a process or about something, we say, yeah, let's take a look at it. Right? And we sit down, we work out a couple of workflows, and then say, yeah, we can adjust it. This is going to work out really good. Let's do it.
Yeah, great, great advice. Thanks so much, Sandeep. That's all the time we have for today, but I appreciate you spending some of it with us to share your experience and your advice here. Thanks again for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Platform Rules, Digital Transformation for Product Companies. You can listen to this show and more at propelsoftware.com/podcasts. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share with a colleague, leave a review, or email us at podcast@propelsoftware.com with any feedback or questions. Until next time, Platform Rules.